Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. And even though
time and time again, I see your face. As Chicago brings us back 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Marlo Lewis, great member of our Brain Trust, senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. I encourage you to go there and check them out, all the things that they do, so many good things there, especially the work that Marlo does and our buddy Wayne Cruz and his regulatory work over there and so many others over there. Marlo, thanks again for being here. We're talking about, folks, the President Trump pulling the United States out of the Paris Climate Change Agreement. Marlo, you made an important point on the break there. I wanted you to remind people. Remind us about the politics of this going into Paris and into the meetings of Paris Accords and during this last election.
Well, President Obama never said a word about climate change during the 2012 presidential election. He didn't run on the Paris Agreement or the EPA's Clean Power Plan or any of these policies. You might even say he ran from them. He described himself as an all-of-the-above energy policy. He even accused Mitt Romney of being anti-coal. And
No shame.
Oh, I see. Right. And so then when he sprung these policies as his legacy on the American public in 2013, in other words, just right after the election, he could fairly be accused of being just another one of those politicians who thinks that politics is the art of fooling the voter.
Yeah.
So his climate agenda had really no Democratic legitimacy. In stark contrast, President Trump ran on a platform of getting out of the Paris Agreement and rolling back the Clean Power Plan. So President Trump is earnestly trying to keep his promises, more so than just about any politician that I can remember in a long time.
Yeah.
Whereas President Obama didn't promise to do any of this, and then went ahead and did it, and now all his
let's be honest.
He has some kind of authority from heaven, maybe.
Well, let's call it like it is, Marlo. President Obama lied to the American public. I mean, you get to keep your plan, you get to keep your doctor, you get to keep your insurance. There, that and other examples, he just lied to people. I mean, they tweaked around the language when they were reporting on this, but a lie is a lie. And the part about the shovel-ready jobs. Well, those jobs were never ready. I knew that when he said that. I said, that's a lie. Those jobs aren't ready. That's not how this works. And he even admitted later, well, turns out they weren't shovel-ready. So that's one thing that we have to realize. Now, back to the Paris Accord thing, though.
Right.
This is, in my opinion, when I hear about these kinds of global agreements, Marlo, all I can do is think about the conversations I've had with the Europeans who are involved in these kinds of policy programs. I've had a few conversations over the years, and their underlying attitude is one of jealousy of America, jealous of our performance, jealous of our country, of our wide open spaces. They're jealous of our homes. They're jealous of the way we use electricity. They don't like the fact how we drive our cars. And I've actually had them to tell me, you guys are going to have to change. You're going to have to live in smaller homes. You're going to have to drive smaller cars. And this is their goal, to beat us back.
That's very true. And the other thing that they have, for example, in Germany, the electricity prices on the national average are three times as high as those in the United States. And as a result, their manufacturers are at a severe disadvantage compared to ours, and they know that the only way to, from their point of view, to level the playing field is to impose European energy policies
right.
on America. So how
yeah.
do you do that? Well, you negotiate a treaty, which then requires the United States to do to,
which
to
is
do that.
A de facto which is
a
de facto
so that Europe doesn't have to stop shooting itself in the foot.
Which is a de facto tariff.
Or tax. You know, any regulation that imposes costs on consumers, you could say, is an imposed
and
tax.
Hasn't Europe already failed to meet the last climate change goals that they had? Didn't they fail those?
Not exactly. But here's what they did. Because their energy prices are so high, it has made energy intensive manufacturing very uncompetitive in Europe, and so Europe has basically outsourced its manufacturing to Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So if you actually look at
that's the reason
that
why they're
embedded in products imported from Asia, they have failed their climate.
And that's the reason why their unemployment has been remaining at 10% and their GDP at 2% year over year.
Well, it certainly contributes to it. There are lots of different factors, you know, as you know, like big socialist welfare states.
Right.
That don't help economies grow.
Well, I saw an article the other day. Some citizen was saying, I never thought I'd see the day when electricity would be considered a luxury.
That's right. Well, that's what it's become
and that's
in Germany,
what they want.
Where 300,000 households had to be disconnected from their utilities last year because they couldn't afford to pay the bills.
Wow.
And that's a real
and
health threat.
And it gets
know?
Cold over there, people, in the wintertime. We're
going to
come
sure
back.
Does.
When we come back, we're going to talk about what this would have meant, what it's going to mean now for small businesses. I'm going to get Marlo to help us with that. Marlo Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. That's where he hangs out. I'm Jim Blessingame. I hang out with you.
That's a lot of a promise, if you please.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.